you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Film Week is coming up at 11 o'clock. Our critics this week, Christy Lemire and Tim Cogshell. They'll tell us about the new Guy Ritchie action thriller, Wrath of Man, starring Jason Statham. The comedy Here Today, starring Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish. Crystal directed the film and co-wrote it. And we'll hear about the kung fu comedy, The Paper Tigers. That's all and much more on Film Week, coming up at 11 o'clock, but right now we turn our attention to the Navajo Nation and the massive reservation in the Four Corners area of Arizona, Utah, New Mexico. Joining us to talk about what's happening, Utah, of course, the other state, what's happening there with COVID-19 is Chief Medical Officer at the Navajo Area Indian Health Service, Dr. Loretta Christensen. Dr. Christensen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's talk about, first of all, the devastation that COVID-19 has wrought on the reservation with two very large surges, and I know a number of super spreader events. What's the extent of loss that the nation has suffered?
Well, we were hit extremely hard by COVID in both the first surge in the spring and again, even more so in the fall. And, you know, any loss is very, very important to us. And we grieve the loss of our elders, of our neighbors and our relatives, because they all take with them a rich history that's passed on from generation to generation. I will say that we fought back very hard. We have recovered, or recovering, I should say. And we're doing well at this time, knowing that we are resilient and strong has helped us weather this.
I was reading this morning's Navajo Times says 9 out of 10 people on the Navajo Nation have received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine. 92% of the population, that as of May 5th. This is, of course, wonderful news to see the high rate. It had to be incredibly challenging to do that, though, given the rural nature of much of the reservation. Did people largely come into the cities, you know, places like Yenta, Tuba City, and Shiprock and the like, or was vaccine taken out into the very rural areas?
Well, we were very well prepared for the vaccination effort, and all the credit goes, of course, to the people. They took the time to step up. They knew this would help us combat COVID, and they were there sometimes 3 and 4 hours before our events actually started. So my greatest thanks to the Navajo people. Secondly, our staff, our vaccination staff, are amazingly innovative and adaptive. And we had a plan to deal with our rurality very early. We have an excellent distribution team at our Navajo area office who carefully planned out all the routes to get the vaccine where it needed to be. We worked together very, very collaboratively, tribal, urban, federal. It was all one unified effort. And we had a really excellent and viable plan. Through that plan, we were able initially to get the vaccine into those facilities that had better storage capability. And from those larger facilities, we were able to then redistribute very rapidly, very efficiently to every health clinic and every location on Navajo, including our urban site in Flagstaff, Arizona. So I feel we knew what we were up against. We know our challenges in Navajo, and we planned accordingly how we would do this distribution, and we would serve our people to the best of our ability. As far as how we gave the vaccines, we were multifactorial. We had large community events where we had drive-ups where 1,000 to 3,000 people might be served in a single day. We had what we call closed pods or places of distribution where special populations like our elders were asked to come to those so that they had plenty of time and attention to their needs. We had events at regions of our communities where we went out to what we call chapter houses. And then we're able to bring in those communities to that nidus and give them their vaccinations. And then we actually have an excellent outreach program from our community health representatives and our public health nurses, where we had a population defined of homebound, disabled, or those unable to transport to a facility. And we went to those homes and we vaccinated those patients and their caregivers. So we took multiple approaches, knowing that each community is different and the needs of our population are variable.
Did you use the Johnson & Johnson with delivering to homebound members of the Navajo Nation, or did you were you able to do it quickly enough that the more difficult storage of the mRNA vaccines could still be accommodated in a vehicle?
Well, thank you for that. We used all of the vaccines, and we used them a little bit differently in each region of the reservation, because again, the needs are very different. So we looked at our populations and who would be the one and done for the Johnson & Johnson, who would benefit the most in each of those communities. And we focused on that. We used Moderna a lot in our rural areas because the storage wasn't as stringent for ultra freezer as the Pfizer. So those got directly delivered to all the health clinics in summer in some very, very rural areas. So they received their own deliveries and were able to administer to their communities very quickly. And then, of course, Pfizer, we used in our larger facilities, and certainly when we opened up to 16 and above, we largely relied on the Pfizer because it was approved for that age group. So we use it and adapt it to what helps our population the most. We did use J&J. We are, again, resuming the use of the Janssen vaccine, and again, focusing on populations that would have an advantage to a one-shot vaccination.
We're talking with Dr. Loretta Christensen, Chief Medical Officer at the Navajo Area Indian Health Service. She's on the reservation in the Four Corners area. The reservation accounts for about half of the population of the Navajo Nation. According to the Navajo Times, a total of 30,565 people in the Navajo Nation have been sickened or died from COVID-19. A total of nearly 1,300 members of the nation have died as a result of the virus. But there's terrific news on vaccination. When we come back, we'll talk about why members of the Navajo Nation have not suffered from the same kind of resistance to vaccine in anywhere near the extent that we've seen in other parts of the country. We'll be back in just a minute on Air Talk. Dr. Loretta Christensen, Chief Medical Officer, the Navajo Area Indian Health Service, joining us to talk about the toll COVID-19 has taken on the very large Navajo reservation in the Four Corners region. But the very good news that a very high percentage of eligible members of the Navajo Nation have now been vaccinated. Dr. Christensen, we have a lot of vaccine hesitancy in other parts of the country, and given the fraught history between the U.S. government and members of the Navajo Nation, to what do you attribute residents' ability to trust in the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine and to take it in such high numbers?
Well, there's no doubt there's been some historical trauma, and we knew that from the beginning of the pandemic. And a lot of our efforts were very unified communication. And I want to give an immense amount of credit to President Nez of Navajo Nation, because he has been with us every step. And working with him together on unified messaging has been critical to our success. We knew we had to heal some of the trust issues. We knew we wanted to move forward, because it was for the benefit of our people to have them seriously consider getting the vaccine. And so we work very early to communicate very transparently, very often. There's live Facebooks twice a week that the president hosts that has multiple guests of subject matter experts. All of our public messaging is unified. It comes out of our unified command with the Navajo Nation. So we know we're very consistent in what we are telling our people. And I think that's vital, is to be very open to answer their questions, to be very honest, and to give them all the information they need to make a decision a very informed decision about what we can do to combat COVID. You know, we preach wear your mask, watch your distance, wash your hands constantly. Way at the beginning of the pandemic, we had campaigns, we had lockdowns, we had shelter in place. We were very progressive with that. And we continued this into our vaccination effort, that this is a tool, this is a weapon against COVID, as the monster, as President calls it. This is the way we fight back. And people listened. They wanted to protect themselves and their families and their communities. And it was very important for them to be part of this effort. And they were key to our success in getting these vaccinations out. So we're very, very proud of the Navajo people for stepping up and being part of the solution.
Well, it's terrific news, Dr. Christensen. And just real quickly, are any of the social gatherings, you know, bringing people together, whether it's church-related or otherwise, are those starting to happen, or are those still restricted by the rules?
We have a very comprehensive way to determine opening, and we only provide guidance to President. It is, of course, his decision, and he's been very careful, very safe, very deliberate. We are slowly beginning to open businesses and activities across Navajo Nation. Okay. And we look at our data analytics and we present it to him, and we have really excellent conversations about the safest way to progress. So they are opening in a very limited fashion, but right, along with that comes a lot of public messaging saying, no more than this many people, wear your masks, and keep your distance.
Dr. Christensen, thank you so much, Loretta Christensen, Navajo Area Indian Health Service, for which she's Chief Medical Officer. Coming up next, it's Film Week on KPCC. I'm on vacation next week. 1A will take Air Talk's place, but Film Week will be here next Friday.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.